Yo, 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 yo. Yo.
That's it, I think. Mic check.
Mic check, mic check.
As close as I can.
And welcome back to another episode of the Dude from Los Angeles podcast. Today we have Connor from Indie Brewing. Dude, what's up, man?
Not much. Thank you so much for having me here. Appreciate it.
It's pretty easy to get you on.
That's true. Yeah, you didn't have to work that hard.
No, man, I wanted to work hard. I was like, dude, what do you need? Do you need a case of beer? Like, oh, that's the wrong thing to say to somebody that freaking has a brewery, so.
Beer always works, though.
Yeah, right?
I have no problem with beer.
Connor, what's up, man? I had met you. Just to let everybody know, I have met you for the first time at the Brew at the Zoo a long time ago. You guys were pouring some stuff, and I had already tried, and I was like, oh, dude, you guys are... I didn't even know where you guys were.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
And it's just... And even if you, like, if you drive by there, you might kind of miss it.
Yeah, it's kind of discreet, a little bit hidden. You gotta know to know. And it's once perfect. You know...
Once you know...
Then you know.
Dude, it has become like the go-to spot.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Yeah, for us on the weekend, it's great. I shouldn't tell people that because then they know where to find us.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah.
They can find
we got plenty of space. There's room for everybody there.
That's true, man.
Yeah.
So, dude, tell everybody how everything kind of got started with Indie.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of a long, convoluted, winding story, but
we got plenty of time.
Got nothing but time. So, I was in college and I knew that I didn't really want to work for anybody. I didn't want to work in a corporate job. I didn't want to work in a cubicle. Yeah. I kind of honed in on the idea that I wanted to, you know, be an entrepreneur, but I wasn't really sure what that entailed or what I wanted to do, whether it was like making t-shirts or, you know, whatever.
Where'd you go to school, man?
I went to Colgate University in Central New York.
What?
Yeah. I'm from LA. I was born in Van Nuys, grew up in Woodland Hills, but then I... When I was 18, I was like, peace, I'm out of here. I hate LA. Everybody's materialistic and stupid.
And for Van Nuys, you thought that? Because no.
Well, it was Woodland Hills, and it was like right next to Calabasas. So there's a bunch of, you know.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree. Right there, that little Woodland Hills Plaza, that whole little where the Costco's at.
Yeah.
The mall.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you might as well be in like Beverly Hills. Like it's a whole different breed of people.
Definitely.
The whole valley.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I love the valley. I'm a valley kid. And, but at the time, you know, I was mostly looking at like the negatives in LA and I wasn't really focusing on the positives. And it wasn't really until, a few years later when I was like, man, I miss my home. That's where I'm meant to be. But so in college, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I drank a ton of beer, obviously, and I was hanging out with my friends, and I had beer in my hand. I was like, it was like that eureka moment where the light bulb goes off. It's like, I should start a brewery. And, of course, my friends were like, yeah, duh. Like, how awesome would that be? So they supported me. I got a homebrew kit for Christmas that year. I started homebrewing in my college apartment on a stovetop, you know, electric stovetop with two spaghetti pots and, you know, kind of like the typical, like, first homebrew experience story. Oh, yeah. So I started dialing that in, and when I graduated, it was 2009, you know, there were no jobs really out there. So that was a perfect excuse for me to be like, I'm going to go be a ski bum and brew beer somewhere. And I was like trying to figure out where I wanted to go. I was looking at like maybe like Portland, Mount Hood area, or Mammoth, or Colorado. But I actually ended up landing in Park City, Utah. Yeah, so I had a friend from high school. Her family moved to Park City, Utah the summer after we graduated from high school. And when we graduated college, she moved to Park City, Utah to be close to her family. Mm-hmm. And I went to visit her. I got offered a job at a brew pub, Red Rock, in Park City. So I was like, well, sweet. I got a job in the beer industry. And then I got a job as a lift operator at one of the local ski resorts.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, perfect. Like, this is what I wanted to do, and like figured it out. So I moved up to Park City, Utah, started working at the brew pub. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met James, who's our brewmaster. He hadn't brewed yet, but he was like super interested in home brewing. Mm-hmm. And we linked up. We started brewing every week for 2 years, 10-gallon batches, splitting them, you know, messing around with different yeast strains, different dry hopping, different adjuncts, fruit, spices, whatever, just kind of dialing in what we like to drink, what we like to brew, and all of that. So we did that for 2 years, and that was 2009 to 2011. Mm-hmm. 2011, getting back to, I was like yearning to be back in Los Angeles, and at the time the beer scene was limited to 6 or 7 breweries, so I knew there was an opportunity in Los Angeles that hadn't been tapped yet, and
hey, yo.
I was like, it's my hometown, there's no breweries, I want to do it in LA, so I moved back home, and I linked up with Kevin and Morgan through like 6 degrees of separation of Kevin Bacon or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So Kevin, I met through my dad's agent's now wife. Her brother was Kevin's childhood best friend. Yeah, and I was I had a conversation with my dad's agent, Vinny, and he's like, hey, man, I know this guy that wants to start a brewery like you do. I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, put us in contact. And normally that doesn't go anywhere. Like,
yeah,
everybody
yeah.
wants to start a brewery. Like,
oh, yeah, definitely. It's some guy with, like, a Mr. Beer type of setup. And he's like, dude, I'd love to one day.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I've tried my brown ale. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody loves it. All my friends say it's the best one they've ever had.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, all my friends said my beer was good, too.
Of course. Yeah. My bottles are popping because I added too much priming sugar.
Yeah,
whatever,
that's
it's
right.
Good.
Yeah, and there's, like, hop tube on the ceiling from exploding fermenters and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's how I met Kevin. We like met for the first time at Father's office in Culver City.
Of course.
I was like driving down and he's like, hey man, this is kind of weird, like weird text message to be sending to another guy, but I'm the dude in the blue hoodie at the end of the bar with a rose and a book. No rose, but you know, it was like, and then when we met, it was like, we had the same vision for Indy, which was, you know, really high quality, balanced beer that's meant for everyday drinking.
Yeah.
And then the vibe of the place too. Unpretentious, kind of the like anti LA scene. You know, it's raw, it is what it is, and we've got games and picnic tables, but it's really the focus is the beer.
Definitely.
And that's where we put, you know, our time and energy and money to make sure the beer's on point. And then the tap room is just like a welcoming place for everybody to come hang out, enjoy beer. And then Morgan, I know through his wife, actually. His wife and my sister were really good friends in high school. So I've actually known Morgan's wife longer than I've known Morgan. But when I moved back to L.A., we started homebrewing together.
Oh,
shoot. And it was all around the same time when I met Kevin. I was homebrewing with Morgan. I knew James. He was brewing at Uinta from 2011. Through 2014, I want to say, when we pulled him out, once we thought we were going to be open, which took a little bit longer.
Right.
So we pulled him out, but yeah, so that's how we all kind of came together, and that's the genesis of Indy.
Well, there's a lot of things, man, to kind of talk about in that, because, you know, you said that, I mean, for the most part, you started as, you know, just brewing batches every weekend. You could talk about a lot of people that started brewing batches and then just eventually kind of fell off.
Definitely.
And then, you know, just what happened to the hobby, you sell it again, like on Craigslist and call it a day. And I'm one of them, you know, like it was just, you have to fall in love kind of with that process, right? Because the process stays the same. It's
definitely
just like, all right, let's see what else we can make. And
right, yeah.
What was that like for you guys? When you guys were homebrewing, was it fun? Is that what it was?
It was a lot of fun, yeah. So, I lived up in Park City. James lived down in Salt Lake, and we would brew at his place, and it was always a great time because we would make a day of it.
Yeah.
You know, he would go forage for mushrooms in like the mountains, and then
comes
like
back, don't eat those.
Yeah, well, no, he like James knows exactly like what he's foraging. Like,
yeah.
The dude is like just dialed in with like food and beer and all that
That's
stuff.
Awesome.
But yeah, so we would like fry up, you know, chicken wings or fry up mushrooms or, you know, like we would have a really good time around it. And being Salt Lake, sometimes we'd be brewing in the middle of a snowstorm or, you know, be like sideways rain or, you know, like some pretty weird weather situations and, you know, outside just getting clobbered, but,
yeah,
you know, still getting through it. And so, back to your
so brewing here has been like a, like just a better time, right? Like here, I mean, today was, you know, like it was cloudy this whole week.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, man, we're going to have to do this outside. What if we get some rain?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, nope.
No, it's gorgeous.
We got a beautiful.
Well, it's LA, you know, it's never winter here. So.
Oh, dude, it's been kind of muggy, but yeah. It was a wonderful day. I was like,
yeah, I can't complain. Like definitely the weather here is better than Utah, but Utah was gorgeous and the weather wasn't that bad.
Sideways rain.
Sideways rain, snow, yeah. But yeah, no, I'm glad to be back in shorts and a t-shirt and sandals.
Of course.
My daily uniform.
It's cool not having like a weird uniform, right? Like that's the whole idea behind Indy.
Yeah, the whole idea is that if I can never wear shoes again, that would be nice.
Yeah,
sandals
yeah.
all day, every day.
Steel toe? Don't you have to wear steel toe? At least
steel toe sandals? I don't know if they make those.
If they got Reeboks. They make these Reeboks that are like running shoes. You could wear those. I mean, for the most part.
That's true. No, it's either my sandals or my Sanooks, which are basically sandals that are closed toed.
Must be nice, man. I got horrible toenails, man.
Oh no.
Yeah, no. I'm Mexican, so like these things, I will wear tennis shoes to the beach. Kind of deal. No.
Yeah, get sand all up in them.
Yeah.
Definitely.
God, man, so you guys fell in love with it. That's what I imagined everybody else that's actually successful in this. Like, you love doing it, and that's why.
Yeah.
That's why I pushed forward.
I think so. I think the passion really comes through. Uh-huh. And for us, you know, people can really identify with our passion for the craft and with our beer. And I think that's extremely important in craft beer. I wouldn't say every brewery goes into it with the passion, you know.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I think the ones that really are successful and that people really kind of gravitate towards are the ones that are authentic and super passionate about what they do.
Yeah, man. Well, I just saw you at the Vegan Beer Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could just, going around from tent to tent, you could see the people that are, you know, that are just there, just kind of, there's another freaking event.
Definitely.
We're not worried about anything else. We just... pouring the beer, get out,
yeah.
That's it. And you're there, like, having a good time, talking to people, always have a smile on whenever somebody walks up. Man, it was good. I mean, you feel that, and that's kind of what you end up leaving with. Because you forget all the beers. You have 57 beers, but you'll remember that good time. You'll be like, oh, man, where are they at?
Definitely. I mean, if people want to take the time to talk to me, I'm going to take the time to talk to you, you know. I think my favorite part about having a brewery is all the people I meet, all the people, mm-hmm. all the stories I get to hear, all the, you know, the friends that I've made that I never would have met otherwise. And it's nice having a tap room because they come to me for the most part. Like, I don't have to like go all over the place, you know, like it's kind of central and it's really nice.
It is central, man. This is for you guys that don't know, like you got to give out the address because it's one of those. You got to find it with GPS. Like, you got to get
definitely
one of those.
And sometimes the GPS will send you to the wrong side of the building.
I bet.
Yeah, so the address is 2350 East Sunrise Street. Yeah, it's right at the 7th Street at 101. There's a big orange building. Mm-hmm. Just go to the back side of it. There's a huge iron gate, and there's a small door that's right next to that.
Yeah.
And that's us. We do have one little tiny sign in one window, but it's not super helpful to find
us. It's good. It reminds me of like a speakeasy. You know, you just got to know where it's at.
Right.
You know, you got to move like a bale of hay.
Yep.
You know, it's behind a couple rum barrels. And
yeah, we always have a secret password to get in.
Let me in.
Okay. Come on in. You're welcome.
Go, dude.
Yeah, come on in.
Yeah, man. Oh, man, well, let's get into some beer. I think
that's
perfect. The weather's nice.
I brought some IPA Del Rey. It's our West Coast IPA. Citra Equinox hops. You get tasty notes of, like, nectarine, tangerine.
Oh, shoot. Well, I'll tilt some glasses for us, man. Yeah, when you guys did the last can release for the Find That Juicy. Damn, merci beaucoup. If you want, I'll tilt it there. Yeah, you guys also. Oui, vous parlez français? Vous parlez français?
Non pas.
Très mal.
Like two words.
Yeah, same here, man. I've been saying like
merci beaucoup. Like I can get that. Like that one's easy.
Cheers, man.
All right, cheers.
This is wonderful. Oh, Jesus! It's so easy to drink.
Yeah, that's basically the thread that ties all of our beers together is that they're really well balanced. They all finish out pretty low, so there's very little residual sugars, a little residual taste in your mouth, and it just gets you excited for that next sip.
See, now you're getting brewer on me, man.
Yeah. It's like my sales instincts coming out. Like, yeah. Hey, everybody, go buy this beer. It's awesome. Yeah.
No, that's fine. The brewer stuff, you know, when you start telling me about like what gets broken down, then okay, It's nice and flavorful, dude. It's juicy. It's great. You guys also made, you did the can release for Find That Juicy,
mm-hmm.
but you guys also did Alternative Facts in the tap room.
Yes.
Fuck, what a good beer.
Thank you. Yeah, Alternative Facts was supposed to make its way into cans also. It unfortunately, that run didn't work out, but yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but we had a lot of kegs of it. That was nice.
Yeah, I had to be careful. Like, that thing was, it had some weight on it, you know?
But that's a lot of weight on it.
And it's just, I was like, man.
That's the highest ABV beer that we've brewed so far.
Uh-huh.
And like, it finished out 8.5, maybe a little higher.
Maybe.
But yeah, it's like, I know I would, that beer would definitely kick my ass.
Damn. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm like used to like drinking, you know, most of our beers come in around 5%, 6%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I can drink 5-6% beer all day long and like,
right.
Totally good. And then you kick it up to 8.5 and it was like,
Yeah, I think even whoever was behind the bar was like, yeah, I mean, it says 8 point something, but you kind of have that look like, at your own risk, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll take another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really, really good. That was our second New England style IPA after Worth the Squeeze.
Yes. Another good one, man.
Thank you.
I got to ask you, man, because what are your views on this hazy movement? Because my whole idea behind it has always been like, when... I always say the beer nerds, you know, because I'm surrounded by them.
Right.
Where I work, and I'm like, oh, fuck, what are they into now?
Yeah.
You know? And if you're not at the cutting edge, you're falling behind.
Yeah.
And then when sours came about, I was falling behind, dude. I'm not a sour head. I can't.
Yeah.
It's just not my deal.
I can appreciate them, but, like, the acidity, really.
Mm-hmm.
I could do, like, a couple, like, maybe a sour beer, maybe, a like, sour. In a 10-ounce pour, and then...
Right.
And then my stomach is upside down.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know, it's all that lacto or whatever.
Yeah. Else yeah.
But now, like, they came out with this hazy beer movement came out. And I was like, all right, guys, I'm back in. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm back. I'm part of the cool kids. You guys are doing them. And they're freaking phenomenal,
Thank
man.
You.
I don't even have to go that far.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, I don't have to send nothing in the mail.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to, like, make friends with some weirdo New York.
Yeah.
And try to get some Heady Topper with some Pliny and something else, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Some weird trades. You guys are up, you guys are nearby. What made you guys say, you know what, we're doing this?
So we started doing, we've been canning for over a year now. We started canning last March. And that was always our business model. We wanted to be in cans. But we started off with Eastside XPA.
Yes.
Which we don't make anymore. Now it's Eastside Pale Ale. It's slightly tweaked. And then we did Pacific Kulsh Highway.
Awesome.
7th Street Saison, IPA Del Rey. Uh-huh. So, like, more of our core beers, which was great. And, you know, that was great exposure. But we wanted to play around a little bit more, brew some new things, new styles. So we started doing... a rotating IPA special release series starting in November.
Okay.
And we started off with a couple of West Coast IPAs. But James, his philosophy to brewing IPAs is kind of in line with that New England style with the low bitterness, more of the essence of the hops. So it was kind of just a natural progression for him to, you know, just take out all the hops in the boil, you know, very minimal whirlpool hops. And then it's all dry hops. So that, you know, it really fit in with the way that he likes to brew. It wasn't something that was, you know, that's not common for IPAs. IPAs are always heavy on the bittering hops.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you dry hop them. But, you know, that's more of a secondary. That's your aroma.
Mm-hmm.
But with the New England, it's your whole beer is dry hops. So it kind of just lined up with our philosophy to beer, how we like to drink beer, what we like out of our IPAs. And obviously the market was right there, so it made sense for us to, you know, jump in and, you know, try to get our name out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're, that's good that you guys were already kind of thinking about that, or that style was already a part of y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
They're divisive, though. Like, some breweries, like, will not brew a hazy IPA New England style. It's really interesting.
You had Monkish saying that, you know, it's like, we won't make an IPA, and then now they're, like, the front runners of the whole game.
Exactly. Runner, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're, like, they're leading the pack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you have to be flexible in anything, you know, and especially in a brewery with the way that people's tastes change and evolve, like, you know, like you were saying with the sour craze of a year or two ago,
right?
The New England IPA craze of right now.
Yeah,
I think as long as you can stay true to yourself as a brewery and still brew those styles within your brand and within, you know, who you are as a brewery, you know, I think you're missing out if you're not trying to give the consumer what they want, you know. At the end of the day, if people aren't buying your beer, you're not a brewery. So if you got to put out the beer that people want to drink,
yep.
And if you can do it authentically, then, you know, why not?
Yeah, definitely. The things that you guys are setting up, you know, like the environment, you know, your customer service, people eventually are just going to be, they're going to say, you know what, I want Indy to make a hazy beer because they're my people, you know? Like,
right.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. You got to listen to your customers and especially, you know, your regulars.
Yes.
Because they're the ones that keep you afloat.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. Well, you guys got it already going on. Down there and I'm like, this is like a good time. It's always been a good time.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
And it's just the place, it's the people. There are a couple other places that I've been to that it's like, you know, you walk in, it's just not as friendly, and that's not a knock on, I don't know, man. It's just, you get a different feeling from different places. I'm sure you felt the same.
Definitely, yeah. And that was really...
And let's not say too much shit because it's like LA Beer Week and all the brewers.
No, I'm not going to. No, that's like the number one rule. Like, you don't talk shit about your friends.
Especially
in the beer industry.
Yeah, definitely.
No, I was just going to say, but that's by design, you know. Anytime you come into Indy, we're going to scream out hello. And, you know, you come up to the bar, we're going to ask you how your day is, how things are. Uh-huh. And when you leave, we're going to say thank you for coming. You know, that's kind of like the central tenets of, you know, our customer service and just being a good member of the community, you know, really providing a place for the community to come hang out, you know, feel welcome and comfortable. It's kind of the tap room is really, we want it to be an extension of your living room where you feel like you're at home. And, you know, there's just a good vibe overall.
There's couches, and you guys got, like, an old 64 system thing where it plays all the games, and that's it. I mean, it kind of is my living room.
For the most part. Yeah, like, we got board games, shuffleboard, giant Jenga, couches. And those couches are, like, our couches that we had, like, that our wives were, like, get these out of the house. Oh, so then they come down to the
brewery. That's
an excuse,
man. That's an excuse to get more couches. Like, no, take them.
Yeah.
And then while you're at it, kind of take this whole dining room set.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. I have, like, four desks.
Oh, see? See? That's it.
Yeah. Like, my dad was like, hey, get all this stuff out of your room. Like, and I was like, all right. So he was, like, trying to sell his house. And I was like, all right. So everything came down to the brewery.
Of course.
Yeah. Old rugs.
Matt, so another thing, I wanted to talk to you about the stand-up that you guys do there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's freaking cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool event.
Yeah. I mean, we go, on this last one, I had my buddy Manny, who's doing stand-up at, he's trying to do it everywhere, this guy. It was funny.
Nice.
From high school, so.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to do it everywhere, and you go to, you had people that performed at the Comedy Store, and it was just a fucking good event for so cheap.
Yeah,
at a brewery.
Yeah, Monique, who produces it, she does a phenomenal job, and she brings in extremely funny people. And yeah, we do it once a month.
She's funny too, man.
She's very funny with her like rap opera.
I didn't know she could sing. It always freaks me out when I meet people that, oh damn, you got
some pipes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's weird.
I know, I can't sing worth a lick, so.
I can't either, man.
I can respect that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to rap instead. Yeah.
I'm not good at anything like that, so.
No. What else are you up to? What else are you up to except for brewing beer? You got to be. I mean, you're like the Kobe Bryant of brewing beer, though, but what else is it that you're into?
Well, right now I've got a 7-month-old son, so. Yeah. So I'm pretty into him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm primary with him too, which is fun. So he gets to come down to the brew with me a couple times a week and hang out. And yeah, that's pretty much, if it's not my business, it's my family. You know, my son and my wife.
Yeah.
Pretty much, you know, and that's all
my
time.
Need, man.
That's all I need. Yeah.
You sound like a real man, dude.
let's not get carried away.
That's it, man. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. So the, you know, bring your little baby, come over.
Yeah.
Just watching you throw some hops in the tank and stuff like that.
You can
throw some cartoons on and everything.
Yeah, I try to give him more like toys and stuff. Mm. I don't.
You're right. 7 months old.
What am yeah. I doing? If he's really like crying and stuff, yeah, you know, I might turn on the Dodger game or something.
Smart move.
He likes baseball.
How do you know that at 7 months, man? 7 months.
He told me.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. He's his words are really coming along. Yeah. You know, like ba ba da yeah. You know, like I can decipher him a little bit.
Yeah. He gets up and does the wave.
Yeah. He's like, ah. Oh my God, he's got so many beach balls too.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Every game he starts inflating them and then just starts tossing them around.
Does he yell whenever they just go over the edge or something?
He does yell, yeah, and he yells at the ushers when they come by and pop them.
It's the worst.
It's the worst. Yeah.
99 cents. I always see 99. That's why you got to go early and get like 4 of them. Just call it a day.
That's right. You're good.
Does nobody know the rule that you have to go back? Like, it's going back. Like, when it gets you towards the front, like, you got to go.
I know. Everybody, like, spikes it like it's a volleyball.
Right.
It's like, no. It's like,
right. Right into some ladies' nachos, and then that's the end of the ball.
Then it's a cheese ball.
Oh, damn.
Mm.
I see what you're doing there, man.
Glad you do, because I don't.
Yeah. Half the time.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I have no idea what I'm saying most of the time.
God. So then Monique does it. Man, so we're going to jump around.
Yeah, she organizes it. We, I think there's normally 6-7 comedians with Monique hosting. Yeah, really good event. I think it's the next one's is June 28th, maybe.
Okay.
Let me double check that. But yeah, she does a phenomenal job. 29th, June 29th.
Okay.
So 3 weeks from now. But yeah, really fun night. Brings in, you know, a lot of new faces, which is always nice.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's wonderful, man. You know what? Like that whole area, we used to go down there to just do graffiti. Like,
yeah.
That was the place because there was
nothing
no cops.
Around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No cops went there. I think they. What is it like a produce distributor that's there or something?
Across the street.
Across the street. Yeah.
There's a produce. There's also like a custom motorcycle.
Oh.
Shop or something, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one Sunday when we were there, yeah, you saw a bunch of Mongols
cruising
down, and you're like,
Yeah, they're not too far from us either.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So then, you know, and that's what it used to be. What made you guys kind of pick that spot?
We've got the city skyline in our logo, and I'm from LA, so it was really important for us to really dive as deep into LA as we could, and there's really no better community than Boyle Heights. I mean, Boyle Heights is the epitome of LA, so
definitely.
This is a really wonderful spot. The building itself is pretty unique. It's not like your typical brewery warehouse. The building's got a lot of character, and we can see the skyline if you look at it like the right angle from our tap room as well. So it's just like all of the things kind of really fit together, and we fell in love with the space. And I think we signed our lease almost 3 years ago now.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is crazy.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is that? What is that little section right next to the brewery? That open space that they got there? It's like apartments or something. I know they.
like next to the brewery?
You know how you guys have like an open space, you know, no drinks beyond this point?
Oh, yes. No, so that's that was an old railroad spur. So trains used to come in through that big iron gate right next to our front door.
Yeah.
And then all of the units in that area were dock high. So if you're going out towards that corridor, there's like a little step. That used to all be down like 5 feet. So, you know, people would load up their whatever onto the train. And then the train would go out and, you know, deliver whatever. So, yeah. Jeez, yeah, okay. A lot of character, a lot of history. The building itself was built in, well, it's like four different buildings, but 1912 is like when the first building went up.
God damn.
Yeah.
So. Okay. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I got a lot of history. It's beautiful, and yeah, we just fell in love with everything about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we all do, man. When we go down there, it's like, you know, you got a good beer in your hand, take a look, and you know, it feels like a good space.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Man. So, what were you up to today? You guys were all hanging out today, having lunch.
Yeah, we were having lunch with LA Aleworks.
Oh shit!
Yeah, we're trying to kind of like dial in on a possible collaboration here in the near future.
Damn, you guys heard it here first.
Boom, heard boom, it boom. Here first. Yeah, that's true. That's 100% true. Unless Damn. You saw my Instagram and then you were like, what are they doing together?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so Kip and the guys, they're all really good, really good people. They brew great beer, kind of in the, you know, similar, well-balanced, nice and crushable, dry.
Yeah.
So I think our breweries align pretty well in terms of philosophy and brewing styles and, you know, the people as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, man, that's something that people don't really pay attention to with craft beer. I don't know. They try to be different within that, but nobody tries to make just good beer, you know?
Yeah.
Most of the time, I mean, you know, like we both kind of work in that field. So for the most part, I think if you're a beer nerd, like you have this, you know, barrel-aged stuff, you have, like, rare whatevers.
The whales.
But, most of us just want a good Kolsch, you know?
Like, yeah.
You know, that's what we want at the end of the day.
Definitely.
Some easy to drink.
Yeah.
Like an awesome IPA like this one.
Yeah.
Some easy.
Yeah, we agree. You know, we didn't want to go with the, like, you know, I'm not saying that these are not good beers. I'm just, like, the marshmallow barrel-aged... You know, whatever. You know, like
maple syrup
with cocoa nibs and maple syrup and anchovies or whatever. You know, like
I want the anchovy one. Yeah,
nice and salty. Maybe it goes anchovy goes.
Do you like anchovies, man?
I don't really care for anchovies.
I haven't met one person that likes anchovies.
Yeah, it always weirds me out when there's like anchovies on a Caesar salad or a pizza.
Damn. Hey. On a pizza, no, man. That ruins the whole thing.
Yeah,
just like one little anchovy. You could add like. Ooh, the anchovy, you know, like just the smell of it on the pizza is funky.
Yeah. Yeah, it is just, that put a really bad taste in my mouth right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll drink some more beer, yeah.
Salud. Oh, oof.
Yeah, so we wanted to brew beer that we want to drink a lot of. So I use the phrase, like, we like to drink beer in high volume, so we brew beer that we can drink in high volume.
Smart.
Kind of our unofficial philosophy. That's not on any of our marketing material, but, you know, that's how I feel.
What's the official one? Is it like, fuck bitches, get money?
It's similar, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I like big butts. That's cool. Yeah. No, I don't know. What would our official?
Damn.
Probably just like, it's too wordy.
Yeah, right. Like, it sounds more like philosophy.
I would just say, like, great beer for everyday drinking.
That's it.
That's our core motto.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we like to drink a lot of beer.
Who doesn't?
Hashtag.
Man, so you guys are right here. You guys are so close to everything. It's crazy how you did, I mean, you said, I'm going to go to Boyle Heights. I'm going to start linking up with everything in L.A. And you have, man. You've hooked up with a lot of, like, every when you guys have people over to make food, it's always somebody that's local. You know, you guys have East LA Barbecue come through, and then you have like that Carnitas and Momo, dude.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, have you found a spicier torta?
You know what the worst part about it is? Like, I set up that event, and I set up like, I don't know if saw Alan A's Barbecue. He like did his first pop up recently, like ever at Indy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like I set up all of these things, and then it's like I have a festival that I have to go work. Oh. It's like I miss all of the. I missed the El Momo collaboration. I missed A's like first ever pop up. I know. Kevin sent me a picture. He's like, hey, like of just this beautiful brisket next to a beer. He's like, hey, you want to post this up? And I was like, no, I want to eat that. Like, I don't want to post it.
For those like, that
don't send
know,
that to me. I'm at a vegan festival right now.
That's right. That's right.
And you're sending me like worst. This beautiful brisket.
Barbecue. Oh, yeah. Man. Yeah. That's like if, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad. But yeah, like East LA, barbecue, Dave is the man. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with his smoker, but it's insanely good food. La Restaurada, they're out of Boyle Heights. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's really important for us too to support the community that we're in and support the community that supports us.
Right, 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 right.
So we try to keep as much as hyper local East LA as we can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all showing up in droves.
Yeah, you guys are fucking awesome. Can I say that on this? This isn't live.
You could say whatever you want, man. Like, there's, I've said some worse.
Okay.
Some worse things on here. Yeah, I'm working on it, though. I'm trying to see what I can say, you know? Like, we'll see if I get any pushback from, like, the company if somebody listens to it, you know what I'm saying? So I don't even say, like, where I work. It's like, just keep that.
That's right, that's right.
Two different worlds.
I won't. Hint at anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. See, man. Where do you guys see yourselves in the next 5-10 years?
Next 5-10 years.
It's kind of a weird one. Yeah, I'm not your girlfriend, dude. I'm not your girlfriend. Like, so I'm not trying to figure out, like, are we going to get married kind of deal?
I mean,
like, who else asked
maybe.
You that?
Or, like, yeah, man, no, I know. So. It's just 5-10 years, we would like to be completely associated with Los Angeles. When you think Los Angeles beer, we want to be one of the first breweries that pop into your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And our goal is to saturate Los Angeles as much as we can before we even start thinking about really moving into other territories. We just want to be like, you know, the quintessential Los Angeles brewery.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And well, you already got it with that killer freaking logo, man.
Oh, thank
you. The one with the hop. You got that
Hop
like,
City.
That's it. Like, it looks City. It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, we're, I mean, kind of obsessed with it. It's on everything. It's on everything.
Dude, come on, man.
Car, cell phone, shirts, hats, koozies.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great logo. When somebody Thank comes you. Up with it, yeah, you got to make underwear out of it. You know, it's got to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife made my son, like, she handed a onesie for our anniversary party in January. She like there took like puffy paint and made like our logo on a little baby onesie. So he was looking pretty dapper. Yeah, it was pretty cute. But we're into it.
What does your work schedule look like, man? Day to day, like, when are you guys brewing or?
We brew like 3 to 4 times a week now.
Okay.
Just to keep up with production. And then tap rooms open Wednesday through Sunday. I mean, there's somebody in the brewery every day at this point. And I'm in the tap. Like, there's always an owner behind the bar in the tap room. So whether it's me or Kevin or Morgan, anytime you go into the brewery, you'll be able to meet somebody that's, you know, owns the place or is behind the beer and can speak knowledgeably about who we are and what we're doing.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, how cool is that, you know?
Yeah, we think so. We think that's a little bit unique. You know, it's not often that you can just walk into a brewery and meet the person that got it going and
is
operating it and running it on a day-to-day basis.
It's the beer, man. It's kicking in.
Yeah, I know. The 6.5% is kind of creeping up on me.
Is that extra half, you know?
Yeah. As I'm looking at this brewery beer you gave me at 17%.
It's 17%? Huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
You know what's weird? Once you get to that level, I mean, they kind of feel the same. Like, I've had, you have Firestone beers, and they're like maybe.
Like Parabola.
You know, 12, yeah, yeah. Whatever, but I don't know, 17.
Yeah.
It's okay.
No big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah. I'm going to shotgun this bottle.
Do it, man. There we go. Oh, this thing's starting to get, I don't know.
Hello?
I think we're still good.
Hello?
I think we're still good. Hold on for 1 second. Guys, we're going to check out some technical difficulties. And we're back. Mic check, 1, 2. I don't know, man. I can't explain how computers work.
I mean, technology is awesome until it sucks.
Yeah. Magic shit just goes on in there.
Yeah. I don't know, like, while the little dials that spin and, you know,
do
the cogs
spin? Do you think that there's a cog in there? There's got to be at least one cog, right?
Yeah, I think so. And probably like I think there's probably a hamster and a wheel in that computer too. Yeah, small, really small hamster. Yeah.
Little small Korean hamsters.
Little tiny one. Yeah.
You can't get like American hamsters in there.
No, you need the pig. Yeah. You need the pygmy.
Little small.
Yeah, little pygmy hamsters.
Yeah, it's true, man. Whatever happened to the cog? You know.
I know.
Everything had a cog in it.
I know.
Everything had some.
There
kind
was a cog
gear
in the wheel, you know, and that's it. I guess gears are not appreciated anymore.
That's it. And we all really got trash bearings, man.
We all got what?
Everything has like a bearing now. You know?
Yeah,
like that's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good old days.
Good old days.
When I was a young kid.
How old are you, man?
I'm 30.
Oh shit! I'm 29.
Okay.
It's weird. I don't know if you've noticed, like, right once you start saying 29, 30, like, mm-hmm. then that's what makes you feel older, but
I don't know. Like, I still.
No, I mean, you don't feel. I know you don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. Like, I still got a skateboard in the trunk.
Yeah.
So it's. I get you.
Yeah.
But it once you say it, like, then it's like, oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I just try to not think about it too much.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
I don't know. You run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking. Running around to come up behind you again.
Oh, goddamn.
The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death.
Is this some philosophy stuff going on?
Yeah, it's Pink Floyd.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
No, I don't do philosophizing.
No, man. What did you study in school when you were there?
I was a Japanese and geology double major. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And everybody like, what are you going to do? You go study volcanoes in Japan?
That's
and
a good
I was
move.
Like, yeah, no, I was that's, thinking about that for a while.
It's not a bad
yeah.
move at all.
Would have been cool, but yeah. I was always like, no, I'm gonna brew beer.
Like, I get
yeah,
you.
That totally makes sense. That's totally the natural segue. I mean, geology, all geologists drink a lot of beer. And
that is very true.
Japanese drink a lot of beer.
That is very true.
Irish, Czech, and German, so they all drink a lot of beer.
Predisposed.
Yeah, it really. It's not that I chose to be in beer. Beer chose for me to be in beer.
It's genetics, you know?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. wonderful when you actually, like, you know, like, I went to Ireland, like, a little while ago.
Nice.
And you see, like, their attitudes towards drinking.
Yeah.
And it's just that much more freedom, you know? Like,
yeah.
that much more easier. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. Just let me be responsible and
yeah.
have a beer in the morning. That's not
yeah,
a big deal.
Yeah, there's not like the... yeah. We should all be able to have beer in the morning.
Yeah. No, people were out like at pubs in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, it's just instead of coffee shops, it makes a little more sense. You know,
yeah,
you get your tea there, you get your coffee there.
Yeah.
But you're at a pub, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I think we put a little bit of a stigma on alcohol, which is
yeah.
a little unfortunate, I think. I think if we were a little more relaxed, I think if we could open carry and, you know, drink in public like you can all over Europe, you know, people might be a little bit happier, a little nicer to each other,
oh,
a little
yeah.
less uptight and pissed off.
I agree.
Delay.
And we're back again. More and more technical difficulties. I advise everybody not to buy a Mac computer. I'm just kidding.
That's what everybody always says.
Yeah, right? And you're like, this thing never breaks, and then it breaks. And
yeah.
you're like, what do you do? Just turn it off. You know,
yeah.
I feel like
restart it.
Right?
Mm.
God, man.
Well.
So you were just talking about you working for an actual geology company, just going
yeah.
out there geologying it up, you know?
Geologying it up, yeah. It was construction-based. It was structural geology, so
okay.
Anytime there's new construction, we would go out, we would drill the site, we would analyze the soil profile beneath whatever proposed structure there was, recommend the foundation, and then when they're grading the site, reworking the soil to make sure it's all well compacted, and we're on site, making sure that's all good. I was on a hillside project in Simi Valley, so there's some like landslides involved and some fault lines, and there was like, you know, so.
Dude, that's a real question. There's a, I'll show you later. There's a house out here that's on a hill.
Yeah.
You know which one it is?
Mm-mm.
It's near, if you're off the 10 freeway, you could see it. It's off of, and it's like El Sereno-ish kind of area, City Terrace.
Yeah.
But there's like maybe three posts that are supporting it. Three metal posts. And it's always looked unsafe. It survived the Northridge earthquakes.
Yeah.
But it's always been there. We've always seen it. And we're like, oh, one of these fucking days, that's going to be the house to
go. I know.
It
blows my mind, too. Like, you see a lot of those hillside houses throughout Los Angeles that are just on, like, two stilts.
Right.
And you're like, do they have nothing in that house? You know.
So what do they need? Kind of like, is it just on bedrock?
It's going to be in bedrock. So you know.
So they're probably like, haha, suckers.
Yeah, those houses, they're not going to go anywhere. They're well anchored, but they do look really precarious.
Oof.
It looks like somebody forgot to build the bottom of the house.
Yeah, right. At least put like a shade or something around it. You know.
Yeah, so you have that illusion that it's, you know,
the illusion, man.
Put a skirt on it.
Yeah.
I know. So yeah. So those are generally into bedrock. That's favorably dipping back into the hillside, so that it's not gonna move.
Okay.
You know, it's not gonna like in the West Valley, like going out towards like Thousand Oaks, like you said, you'll be tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
You can see like driving through Calabasas, you can see all these like cutouts in the mountain.
Yeah.
And those are all landslides where, you know, like the bedrock is unfavorable, so all these landslides just kind of pop out.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. What kind of soil is that? I mean, we're going to get into, like, a soil conversation.
Yeah.
But is it, like...
It's just bedrock. So, just, yeah. So, if you were to think of bedrock as a pile of papers,
uh-huh.
If they're dipping forward out of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
you know, those papers are going to start to, like, move. You know, like, the top one's going to creep down.
Okay.
So, it's essentially, like... When you see those pop-outs in Calabasas, that's what that is.
Okay.
What you want to build on is if that pile of paper was, like, dipping backwards into the mountain so that if the paper was going to fall, it has nowhere to go.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's, like, I think that, does that make sense?
Yeah, pile of papers, man.
Pile of papers.
Mountain.
Yeah.
So you don't fall forward
to
the 101.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Cool. I was like, how am I going to explain this that... Makes sense.
Dude, it took you 4 years in school to learn it, so
school didn't teach me anything about my job. No, it's like...
How crazy is that? Dude, I studied history.
Yeah.
I did U.S. history with a emphasis on the Middle East.
Nice.
Yeah. Exactly, nice.
Yeah.
But it never comes up. Like, nobody ever wants to talk about, like, the Mujahideen or...
That's like, weird.
Exactly.
I feel like I talk about him all the time.
It was them, but I get
them. So I was not a history major.
Yeah. I suck at math. Like I'm legitimately horrific at math. Like I need a calculator to calculate tips. If you throw a 7 in there in the bill, we're not doing this.
Yeah, no.
7 or an 8. How about I just give you 10 extra bucks? And the girlfriend always looks at me like that's too much. I'm like, I don't care. I want to leave.
Yeah. Well, do you know why 6 was scared of 7?
7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
Jeez. I was like, we're doing this?
Yeah, we're doing that. Yeah, that just happened.
You're a dad. You gotta get your dad jokes ready.
Yeah, I know, dude. I wish all of you could just see the stank eye that I got. It was fierce.
That's what it was. You know why, man? I've grown up with my dad's got so many dad jokes.
Yeah.
You know, they're Spanish dad jokes, but you got to recognize what a dad joke is.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, oh, come on, dad. We're not doing
this. I had dad jokes like going back like to when I was a kid. Dad jokes have always been my like bread and butter.
Oh, man. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Next stand up night at the brewery.
Yeah. I'll just do dad jokes.
Just go up there. You're going to hear a bunch of chuckles in the back. A bunch of white New Balances are going to be laughing in the back.
That's right.
This guy.
Yeah.
What's up? Oh, my bills. You know, like that's.
The roof.
Go, dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll sprinkle some more in by the end of this, I think.
Oh, please, man.
Yeah.
Feel free. Please.
Maybe I might come back to that 7, 8, 9 joke because that was a solid one.
Oh, it hit so perfect the first time around. I don't know. Why don't you repeat it again?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know what happens. I think eventually, like, you do get older, you start doing some weird stuff, and repeating jokes is one of them, you know? Yeah. That was funny. And then stories. I'm going to say it again.
Yeah, somebody laughed once, and then that's all the ammo you need. You can just keep repeating it for the rest of your life.
That's my joke.
Yeah, you know? That's my jam right there.
Yeah, it's funny. I got an older uncle. I don't even know if this is right or wrong, man. I got an older uncle who wears a Vietnam hat just because he likes how he gets treated at Denny's. And he never went to Vietnam.
Oh, like he was a veteran?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's on. Yeah. He's like, I don't know, I just like how everybody looks at me. You know,
that's like
just gotta go.
That's like some Big Lebowski shit right there.
It is. Yeah. It's so wrong, though, right? I don't think you should do that because somebody's going to ask you.
Yeah. What company were you in, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What division?
Way City. Did you go to Way? Hanoi, did you ever make it? And he's he doesn't even speak English. Yeah. He's like, what? Where? No, Los Baños. I was in Los Baños. I was near Salinas.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, though. Maybe when I'm older and I...
When you're older, you might come up with some weird stuff.
Yeah, don't give two fucks anymore. I'll just be like, I was in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
you're like, really? You weren't even alive then. Well, whatever, man. The hat makes me look cool.
I had to enlist early.
Yeah. It was prenatal, you know.
Prenatal service.
It was prenatal service, yeah.
U.S. government will go for some things, but I don't know if they'll go for that.
I don't know. Yeah, who knows? Right.
Yeah, who knows, man?
It's a crazy world out there.
It is, man. It is very nuts. Thankfully, we're comfortably just chilling here, you know?
Yeah. Beautiful back patio at Primeritaza in Boyle Heights.
How can you... Yeah. This has slowly become like the go-to studio for this thing. I try not to tell people so they don't come and bug, but come on.
We're actually at Smart and Final.
Smart and Final. That's exactly where we're at. Yeah.
On 4th Street.
That's it. You know it very well.
Oh, yeah. I've bought a plunger or two from there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like our very first like day that we ever opened to the public, we had like both of our toilets back up. Oh, so it was like, I had to run to Smart and Final and grab a plunger and, you know,
goddamn
deal
uncles.
With that shit.
Just uncles. Yeah, my brother had that. He just bought a house, too, in Somar.
Nice.
He had everybody over. Come check out my house.
Yeah.
One of my uncles backed up the fucking thing. I don't know if I'm not supposed to. I don't think they're listening. But, yeah, I was like, of course.
Yeah.
Their diets are mostly, like, pig.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've broken a toilet or two.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's why you need the plunger right next to it, and then you need that scrubber thing, you know?
Yeah.
To hide all the evidence.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I actually, like, legitimately broke a toilet when I was living in Park City.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Halloween. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I relieved myself and I stood up and, you know, I had maybe a couple beers that night. And I fell back into the bowl and I sheared off the entire bowl on top of the toilet.
Snap.
And just water spewing everywhere.
No way.
Yeah, flooded the bathroom.
So you didn't even get a chance to flush? It was just
thankfully, I think I must have, like, done the, like, behind my back flush.
Yeah, okay.
Because, like, I don't know, because it wasn't shit water.
No, you're good then.
So
good.
It worked out, but, yeah, I legitimately destroyed a toilet.
Jesus, dude.
Yeah.
That happens.
Super casual.
I had a buddy that went face first into a toilet and broke it.
Oh, that's rough. Did he break his face, too, or...
He has a pretty strong face.
Oh, he has a pretty strong face.
Yeah. Not a face look and just like a very hard head, I guess.
Very strong.
Yeah.
Strong bones.
Strong bones. And he just went right into it, snapped it. Oh, goddamn. How do you even explain that, you know? I told
my landlord that I fell getting out of the shower. And I hope they're not listening.
Oh.
Be like, because then they split the cost of it with me. And I was like, okay.
Good.
That was nice.
Hey.
Yeah. I feel very unethical right now.
Dude, don't worry about it. There was I had stolen some tires. No, I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I forget. We haven't reached the legal limit on that one yet. So
yeah.
I'll tell you about that one about 3 to 4 years.
Okay, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird whenever you do stuff like that, you know, to get yourself out of a position.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, come on. They're not that terrible.
It was a toilet. You know, I feel like.
The toilet.
I could have been more honest, but I literally...
What were you going to say? I got up and then I fucking slipped back.
Yeah, I had a few too many drinks and I fell into your toilet and I completely obliterated it.
Yeah, you don't want them to have that image of you.
Yeah. And it was like, it was literally like 3 days before I was moving out too. Oh, it was like, I was, you know, it was just like, yeah.
The party's going on. Oh, I can't, you're leaving, you know? And it's
like our last hurrah in the house. And then it's like, oh, this happened. And you go to bed and you like, you wake up in the morning, you go, I hope that didn't happen. I hope that didn't happen. And then you walk in the bathroom and it totally happened. You're like,
yeah. Oh, that's it.
Get your life together.
Oh, man. We all, but you got your life together, man. You got everything going on now.
That's it. There were some dark times, though.
But, right?
Yeah.
Some brown, dark times.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, dude. Man. What are you up to this weekend? You were telling everybody.
This weekend, we have
you were telling us. You were telling me.
I was telling, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody that's here.
Right. And I got this cat right here just lying down.
This cat, is this cat alive? He just doesn't move.
This cat literally, I was sitting even closer to the edge, and this cat came up right next to me and sat down as if.
Like, yo, that's actually my spot.
It felt like, I felt like an intruder.
Yeah.
Like, you're right.
Hey, bro. I don't know about you, but I live here. So.
Yeah. This is my 4 o'clock.
Nap time.
Yeah, spot. But yeah.
Yeah. This weekend, we've got a tap takeover tomorrow at Craft Beer Cellar Eagle Rock.
Yeah. Huh?
So that'll be good.
That'll be awesome, man.
Yeah. 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 Abe and Carissa, really good people over there. And then Sunday, I'm off.
Good.
Which will be nice. Good. A day off, which is always
nice.
What
do you have planned? Are you guys going to take the baby to the park or something?
I don't know what we have planned.
Okay.
Yeah. I try not to schedule. If I'm like not working and I don't have to do something,
perfect.
I try not to schedule anything, which kind of backfires because then my wife's like, hey, by the way, we're going out to like see my family and then your dad and then your mom. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's your whole day.
Can I just sleep?
You're like, can I watch Orange Is the New Black? It's dropping today. I mean,
yeah. I haven't. I've seen the first season, but it's more like, can I just stay home in my underwear and watch Star Wars?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, definitely.
That's my like ideal.
Is that your
day off? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like, if I don't have to move, I'm not going to move.
What'd you think about Rogue One?
I thought it was good.
Good, right?
Yeah, I thought it was good. It could. I thought. I don't know if it like blew me away.
Yeah.
But then again, The Force Awakens didn't really blow me away. I really felt like I was just watching 4, 5, and 6.
Fucking Anakin movies.
Well, no, not 1, 2, and 3.
Right. But yeah.
But yeah, I felt like they just kind of rehashed 4, 5, and 6, and like made it into a new one with slightly different characters, but mostly the same characters.
Yeah.
You know, so. Mm-hmm. And I think 8's going to be the same thing, because it's like, it's going to be like 5, you know, where Rey goes to train with Luke, or like Luke goes and trains with Yoda, you know. I kind of see that kind of like lining up again, so.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. I mean, it was good. You know, it was a good movie, but it just felt, I think they wanted to feel familiar, and I think it just felt too familiar.
Yeah.
They went a little over the top with the, like, exact sameness.
Yeah. I get you, man. I get you.
Yeah, what did you think?
That was all right.
Yeah.
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 It's kind of the same way I felt about,
Sorry, I just drank the beer right out. I thought there was water in here.
That's fine, man. It's the same way I felt like of Fast and the Furious, man, like Fast 8. It's the same. It's like
Fate of the Furious.
The only reason I'm watching is just because it's another movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Diesel.
It's Vin Diesel, man.
Yeah, saying more than Groot.
Right?
Although I think he might actually be better in Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love how I can't recognize his voice in that whole thing.
And the makeup. That whole, like, tree makeup.
How did he slim down for the new movie, though? I mean, he really just...
For Fast and the Furious?
No, for
the Groot. Oh, for the new Groot, for the baby Groot?
For the baby Groot, I mean, he lost some weight.
Yeah,
know?
Dude.
Went down there and just shredded all that muscle.
I think, you know, Hollywood, they've got some of these crazy diets. It's and they also ketogenic. Have these doctors that, like, shrink you.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Like, just cut off your legs a little bit, make you bring you down to the same a smaller
thing as, like,
size.
The Kardashians, like how they get it on their legs to make them look like really twiggy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true, man.
Yeah. You're right. So, I don't know. You know, it's movie magic.
Very, very much so movie magic.
Yeah. And dieting magic.
Dude, man. Have you
magic.
Man. Guardians of the Galaxy was a great movie, though. You can't even hate on it.
I haven't seen the second one yet, but the first one is so much fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to give it some time. I gotta let, you know, that whole threat level of terrorist attacks go down.
Yeah.
That's me with movies, man. I never go see it on the first week out. I always go see it like a month out, right before it's going to go to DVD. And I go see it like at the shittiest theater in like Compton. Because they're not going to shoot up. Like if there's a shootout, it's gang related. Yeah. But it's not really like.
Yeah, it's not like they're coming in here to like shoot up the movie theater.
Right. They're just coming in here to shoot up the guy next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's from the other gang.
Because he's wearing the wrong colors.
That's it. That's
We feel that same way too. Like, we don't like to go see movies right on the first weekend. One, it's like it's hard for me to sit through 2 hours.
Right.
You know, like I like to watch a movie while I'm like reading the news on my phone, and then I can go to the restroom and listen to it while I'm, you know,
breaking some toilets.
Right. It's hard for me to just like sit in one spot for 2 hours.
I get you, man.
Yeah.
I get you. Now, don't worry. After this, we're going to get up. We're going to take a jog.
No, like, this is fine.
Yeah.
You know, got the breeze. I'm outside. It's not dark. Man. It's comfortable. I mean, kind of. Mostly.
I know, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. This is, I'm going to get some chairs out of here. We'll choose a, you know, if you want, we could also move.
That's cool. I'm going to go sit in that barber chair.
That's a good move, too.
That's going to be really hot, though.
Burning.
Feels like burning. Yeah, no, it's comfortable. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, not as comfortable as this cat, though. Jesus. Yeah. Well, I haven't slept this good, like, I passed out a couple times, but never this unnatural.
The life of a cat.
The life of a kitty cat, man. I'm sure it's the same for a small kid. You know, it's
no, just my son does not sleep well.
Get out of here.
Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah? 4 hours, wake up, need to eat.
Yeah, like if he gets the 4 hours, like that's an accomplishment. It's like 2-3 hours, you know.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. He just wakes up like starving. He's like, feed me.
Hey man, do you know kids have that soft spot like at the top of their head?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah, it's weird because like you can see it like moving too. Yeah.
Like when they're chewing on things,
you can it's like it goes up and down like slightly.
Okay,
especially with my son who has no hair to speak of, really. It's really obvious and it's really kind of creepy.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that thing like sealing up.
Oh yeah.
Plus, like you can't like touch him there.
Right,
like, touch him too hard and you like poke his brain.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So delicate, man. Then they grow up, and then they you know.
Yeah, and then they have, like, a lazy eye or something because you poked their head.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Yeah, you don't want them to get a lazy eye.
Yeah, yeah. They're into, like, death metal or something because, you hit them too hard there.
I mean, if they want to be in death. If he wants to be into death metal, that's fine.
It's cool. Then they come out with, like, that immortal fucking makeup all the time.
That's right.
Then you're like, oh, you know what? Fucking shouldn't have touched them there.
Yeah, you know, that's actually on me. Nah, yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I got him with the number two with one of those
those
bear pencils, the big ones you used to get in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Just plucked him with it. That's
the number two pencils, the
big number twos.
Yeah, especially for Scantrons.
Oh yeah.
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 But have you ever seen a number one pencil?
I have not. I have not.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a number three.
I haven't seen a three either.
I'm sure there's somebody listening right now going like, yeah, fucking people are crazy. Like, I use nothing but number one or something like
it's like oh, let me show you my collection of pencils 1 through 10.
Pencil addicts on Instagram. Yeah,
that's right.
Guys that just got new shipment, it's number fives.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Very rare.
In the 1970s.
It's the white whales of pencils.
Oh, could you imagine?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm trading one
to
somebody else.
I love it.
Yeah. You know what's funny, man? I was like that with cigars.
Oh, yeah?
Like back when we first got into cigars, like when I was 18,
mm-hmm.
we would trade them online.
Yeah.
That was our thing.
Yeah.
So we got to like smoke some pretty fucking awesome sticks, you know?
That's nice.
And then I can't really fault all these people that are doing that with beer.
Not
you
know, no fault.
Because people do that with yours, man. You got a bunch of people that came in, or you guys set a limit of a case or something.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know. And then I see them popping up in Virginia and New York and New Jersey and Michigan. And it's cool. It's cool to see your beer being enjoyed throughout the country. Mm-hmm. Even though we are so hyper-local and we want to stay hyper-local. But, I mean, it's still kind of cool to see.
That's awesome.
See, like, how a beer can take on a life of its own.
Uh-huh. How those people respond to it, right?
Yeah.
It's like, this is it. These are the beer nerds.
Right I know.
Now. And they're loving
it. It's awesome, yeah. And, you know, most of the reviews have been, like, overwhelmingly positive. So that's always nice.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, then, well, I don't read your review. So there.
Down. Yeah. I did not like it. I did not like your review.
I did not like it. And I did not save this to my Instagram profile.
Good. Yeah. I did not repost this.
Yeah. I'm not reposting it and I'm not flagging it. Like, the little, like, save flag or whatever that is.
Tag me in it, man. I'll flag it as, like, you know, like, hate speech or something.
Oh, yeah. Like, this is pornography.
I've had people that have said that have gotten their stuff flagged as pornography. It's just, like, a weird meme or something.
Yeah.
It's, like, offensive a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of, like, after the election, I'm sure a lot of people got their friends and families.
Yeah, riled up. Yeah, I know my family was pretty riled up. Yeah. So I've got, like, the whole spectrum in my family. So it was like...
Right.
It was hard for people to talk to each other for a minute.
I bet, man. Yeah. Can we all just get along?
I know. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of your politics, you know, let's just be people. Be civil. Yeah,
definitely, man. You know? Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on a plane. That's when we went to Ireland. We're on the plane. We heard the results.
You guys are just like, no way.
In mid-flight.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck it, well, good, we're leaving the country now.
I will be back never.
Yeah. You know, if something starts burning, we'll just stay here.
Yeah.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how...
The rest of it works.
How tomorrow turns out. I mean, like, shit, you know, every day is so crazy.
Yeah. But I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. People are so, like, the world's ending. But it's not.
I always have to, like,
enjoying the beautiful day here.
The world is always fucked up. You know? Like, the world has always been on fire. There's always been crazy stuff happening. So I think I just choose to ignore that and just focus on the positive, because why stress out about things you can't control?
That's true.
And, you know, I voted. And, you know, like, I did my part. And... things will be fine. You know, like, the world will go on regardless, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same, man. Same. Yeah, because I was the same way. I mean, you know, when World War II happened, people were freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe not so much here, but, you know, if you were living somewhere like in Poland.
Yeah,
that shit was pretty dicey.
Pretty dicey.
Yeah, and even now, I mean, if you're living in Syria, that's the world's kind of ending.
Yeah,
you know, so it's
shit could be a lot worse.
Be a lot worse. I think. Yeah, we're not probably didn't get that crazy until the Cuban Missile Crisis. That was probably the closest we got to
annihilation.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah, I know, and then it's like the Crusades. There was like 100 years worth of, like, you know, religious massacres.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was pretty messed up, you know?
Yeah, listen up, you Catholics.
Yeah, that's right.
You're hating the Muslims, but the Muslims took over, and then you're like, ah, let's kill them all again.
Yeah, let's just keep going back and forth, you know? Like.
Yeah, it was. That's what it is. People just like to fight.
People just like to fight. I don't get it. Like, who has energy for that shit, you know?
Yeah. Like,
I guess people that probably drink less beer.
I think that's what it is, man. I think whatever it is you guys are putting in the beers, just kind of mellowing everybody out. Because it's not like when you go to a bar and when you go to a brewery, it's a much cooler time, you know?
It's a different vibe. Definitely a different vibe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love a good bar, but I'd much rather hang out in a brewery drinking beer. Definitely.
Yeah. We're here. We're professionals, you know? We're here to... We'll get drunk, you know?
Yeah, well, you know.
Eventually. We're here to hang out.
Yeah.
You know?
Enjoy a beer. Enjoy each other's company.
That's it.
Talk.
That's it.
Solve the world's issues. One microphone at a time.
Yeah, man, I think that's going to, we're going to probably end it there. We've already gone on for like an hour and plus.
Oh, shit.
That's not even, it felt quick. No, right?
Yeah, it felt really quick, even with the reboot in the middle.
Oh, that's right. The goddamn reboot.
Stupid reboot.
Guys, everybody that's listening to this, please get like a Microsoft something.
Surface. I have a Surface.
You have a Surface?
Yeah.
Works?
Yeah. I mean, Taylor? I can check email on it and that's about all.
That's it, huh? There's not much depth to your technology.
No, like I do 99.9% of all my business on my phone.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Yeah. I pulled out my computer yesterday. It's like, I couldn't remember the last time I had even opened it. Uh-huh. It's like, I go like a week or two without even opening my computer.
Damn. I feel you, man. I feel you. This is all I use this for. But everybody, if they reach out to Indy,
yeah,
you're the dude. And it's on your phone, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's your account. Yeah, I run the Instagram account.
God damn. So,
yeah. If you get a response from our Instagram account, it's probably me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know,
man. I'm generally pretty nice in my responses.
That's true, man. I sent you some nudes, and you were like, all right, cool, man. All right, I'll see you later.
Yeah, that's super impressive.
I'm just going to put it over here in this dick pic folder you got. You know,
yeah, I did save it in my, like, period folder.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah,
good,
you know, that
good.
Way it hides it in your phone.
That's true. Oh, does it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, I don't know that.
There's a little trick for everybody.
Oh, man, that's it. Don't let them know. Don't let them know how to trifle.
Yeah, if you're going to a family gathering, yes. And you know your aunt wants to scroll through all your photos.
Oh my God!
You can't hide them.
Yeah, please only look at that one photo. Don't
I know?
Don't go to the left.
Yeah, why? Don't swipe.
Don't swipe. Yeah, this isn't.
It's like it's not your phone,
right?
And this is the camera roll.
Oh my God! You know, it's a natural reaction. I think if you just got if somebody's phone, you know, you just kind of assume.
Yeah, like
start
swipe.
Going through it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I like to look at people's pictures.
Yeah, I do too.
Oops.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. You get crazy.
You never get lucky. You never get lucky. You never.
No, that's
never
true.
Never something like naked.
No, it's like, and I have no nude photos on my phone to start with.
Oh, okay.
But like, even if like somebody's like scrolling through my pictures,
still,
my immediate reaction is like, don't scroll through my pictures.
Right.
And it's like, right. You know. 50% of them are fermenters and of beers, and then 50% of them are of my son. So it's like, there's nothing there that's like incriminating.
Yeah.
If I remember that doll folder.
The vault.
Yeah. So it's like, I know nobody's going to see anything, but it's still like my natural reaction is like, give me my phone back.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Same thing as a text message. Don't look through my stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. If somebody goes in my closet, hey man, stop ruffling through my shirts.
That's
please.
Right. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Those are my shirts.
Those are my shirts, man.
Yeah.
You're going to get to the dick pic shirt, please. Stop.
Oh, you have one of those, too?
Yeah, I got one, yeah.
Oh, nice, yeah.
It's up there, you know. It's black. Yeah, you got to.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, well, you got to feel empowered.
You can dream.
Yeah, you can dream. That's exactly what it is. Man, so this Saturday, you guys are doing the tap takeover.
Saturday, tap takeover. Tap room's open Saturday and Sunday. We'll be open for Father's Day next week, too. Oh, bye, Cat.
Fuck you, Cat. Peace.
I guess we're not good enough for him anymore.
Yeah, good.
Or her. We'll be open Father's Day next week. Uh-huh. Got Beer Week coming up. Yeah. So we have the kickoff festival on the 17th. We're doing an event with Everson Royce Bar on the 18th. I think that's going to be like an all-you-can-drink event.
Nice.
Bringing in four of our beers. We did a bourbon barrel-aged Bridge Builder, which was our beer that we brewed for them. It's a Belgian triple with agave.
Ooh.
It's barrel aged. So that one would be pretty interesting. And then we've got the Beer Hop, the Free Ride, which is run by LA Beer Hop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me, burps.
It's all good.
On Thursday, the 22nd.
So I kind of heard about that, right? Like, they will take you around to all the
breweries.
Yeah,
so it's a free shuttle. You can start at any of the breweries that are participating, and the shuttle will come around every 20 minutes, pick you up. And you can take it to whichever brewery you want to go to next, and then so on and so forth. So
how beautiful is that?
You can hit, you know, most of the tap rooms downtown in one fell swoop.
That's awesome,
which
man.
Is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this will be the fourth time we've participated in that, And then Sierra Nevada Beer Camp will be pouring there.
Okay.
I think that's it off the top of my head. I think we have a couple more events going on during Beer Week, but...
And then the new canned release that you guys are dropping.
New canned release, Fuzzy Recollection. It's supposed to get canned on June 28th.
Okay.
I believe that's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably drop it that day as well in the tap room.
Damn. So everybody, if you want one, just come down for a case.
Yeah, you can come on down. Our canned releases are, you know, pretty casual. They're not too hectic.
Yeah.
For the most part, you can roll in, roll out, try the beer.
Yeah.
You don't have to put aside an afternoon to wait in line for 3 hours or anything. So,
yeah, I always freak out. It seems like nobody has a job at 2 o'clock on a Wednesday.
I know.
Whenever you get other places, you know, you're like, how did everybody get here so quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah, we do them on Wednesday too, because it is a little bit harder, I think, for people to kind of dip out of work or whatever, and. We want to make sure that everybody has a shot at getting the beer, so we don't encourage, you know, long lines or whatever. We just we brew beer for everybody, so we want everybody to get a shot at it.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Well, that's beautiful, man. Anytime you want to come on and promote something,
appreciate it.
Right up the street, man.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
At Smart and Final in their backyard.
Yeah, Breed Street at 4th.
Like how you know it. That's it. You've got in there for more than
and
just
like
the
I'm literally seeing it in my brain right now on the corner.
Right. You got to go in front, like right up front. They have that panaderia. You could get those conchitas.
Yeah. Ooh. And that super nice dude that works. Like he's always like, "Do you need a cart?
Oh, nice.
Do you need a cart? I think he's like technically security, but he's
but
the
he gets
nicest.
You a cart?
Yeah, he's like the nicest
Is
guy.
Is that like your go-to spot for getting stuff?
Yeah. Here. I need like a screwdriver. I guess Smart and Final.
Smart and Final has everything.
Yeah. I need diapers. Smart and Final.
Smart and Final.
You know, I need a airplane ticket. Smart and Final.
It's like Chef Choice.
Yeah.
Plane ticket.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like their brand, right? Or
First Street, or First it might be Chef's Choice. Yeah. Because there's like Smart and Final, and there's like what's the other one that's like Smart and Final, but. It's like Final and Smart.
Oh, damn.
So, like, yeah. It's like basically the same thing.
Same thing.
Food for Less.
Oh, yeah. Food for Less. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I always get
I dread the
I always get them
store.
Twisted.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
Right on, man.
That's the only place I ever shop.
same here. You can catch me at Food for Less.
Yeah.
On the weekends, too.
And Smart and Final, if you're listening, I would be happy for that endorsement check.
Thank you. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Dude from LA podcast. Check us out next week. We're going to have two mechs on, visionaries, underground hip-hop artists, badass, legendary dude from LA. And then catch Connor, man, anytime you guys go down there.
Awesome,
tell him what's
yeah.
up. Tell
I'm
him
in the tap room.
Tell him that you heard him on the podcast. And,
yeah, please
and
do.
He's going to get you a badass high five.
Yeah, and I might throw in a sticker or two.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Have a good one. Peace.
All right, peace.